Call to order this assembly meeting of the city and borough of Wrangell on October 28th, 2014, at 7 p.m. Pledge of allegiance this evening will be led by Assemblymember Becky Rooney, after which if you remain standing for the invocation to be given by Nettie Cobalt of the Presbyterian Church.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please join me in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we ask that all who speak here today and those who are listening, listen with ears and speak with tongues that are full of your grace and love. Be with everyone as they do what they feel is right for this community and this state and all that are touched by the decisions made here tonight. And be at, make them all safe, keep them safe as they go to their various homes after the meeting. That's in your son's name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So we have some certificates of service. Let's see. Certificate of service in the city and borough of Wrangell, Alaska, presents a certificate of service to Kipa Valvota for her service and dedication on the Planning and Zoning Commission from 2012 to October 2014. A certificate of service. The city and borough of Wrangell, Alaska presents a certificate of service to Rudy Griscom for his service and dedication on the Economic Development Committee from 2013 to October 2014. Certificate of service. The city and borough of Wrangell, Alaska presents a certificate of service to Peter Helgeson for his service and dedication on the Nolan Museum Civic Center Board from 2008 to October 2014. None of those persons are present. The clerk will ensure they get them. Thank you. And we do thank them for their service. Roll call, please.
Assemblymember Blake?
Here.
Prasanka?
Here.
Rooney?
Here.
Decker?
Here.
McCloskey? Mitchell?
Here.
And Mayor Jack?
Here. Amendments to the agenda. Here and none. Conflict of interest. Anyone have a conflict of interest on any item on the agenda? We go to item five, consent agenda.
I move to approve the consent agenda, items 6A, 7A, and 7B.
I second it.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion? Poll, please.
Assembly members Mitchell?
Yes.
Blake?
Yes.
Prasanka?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Borough manager's report.
Just a couple things. I am going to be out of town the rest of the week for at least part of the day, but I'll be in the morning, but I'll be in town, so if anybody needs to get a hold of me, I'll be around. And then I'll be gone from the 13th of November to the 19th on vacation. Kaziar Street, as you can see there, that they're making progress, but unfortunately it sounds like it's going to rain, and whether or not they can get some of the concrete, but they're ready to start pouring the street. So as soon as they can get some breaks in the weather, they will move ahead on that. So if they can get some water, it will take them about a 5 or 6 days to complete that, and then there'll be a waiting period to, where people can drive on it. The recycling project, one thing I wanted to make sure that Carl talked, and he is going to talk to the person that made the presentation, is that right now, the cans that, if say 35% of your garbage can be recycled and get out of your home for free, whether people or not would drop a size in their cans. So it's something that needs to be looked at, because as an example, if someone has a 64-gallon can, if they can take a third of it out of there, they might go to a 48-gallon can and there'd be a reduction in revenue. I think that's something that needs to be considered, because that is part of the formula, and that could happen. And so I've given Carl the number of, you know, the different size dumpsters, the different size garbage cans, and then run that by him as something that at least needs to be considered, if that's something we think people will do. But because I think most people, if they were filling up a 64-gallon can, they would keep that, but if they're only filling up two-thirds of it, they might drop to a lower can, which is about $17 less a month. So so anyway, that I think they're looking at that, and that's about it. Pretty slow couple weeks, I guess.
Thank you. Any questions or comments? Borough Clerk's file.
The only thing other than what's in my report is for the assembly and the listening public, please don't forget to vote on November 4th. The general election absentee voting is going on now here in the assembly chambers Monday through Friday until 5 o'clock, so 10 to 5 until the 3rd of November. And I don't know if you noticed, but we got a new flag, the U.S. flag, and I have an Alaska flag on the way. Other than that.
Very nice.
Any questions or comments? Item 10, Mayor Assembly reports and appointments. Are there any reports by Assembly members?
Mayor Jack, I sat in today with the city manager for the Salmon Beyond Borders presentation. They came in and did a special one for us because we were unable to attend tonight. And I thought it was a very good presentation. They were able to highlight some the projects that were going up the Stikine, but also the Taku, and I always pronounce it wrong, but Anuk River as well. I guess I was a little bit floored at the scale of the operations. I had no idea of the scale.
It's huge.
I also was pretty, they had a video of the Mount Polly breach of the tailings pond. And I've seen pictures, but I've never seen a video. And it was absolutely terrifying to see that much material going down the stream. And I just kept thinking to myself, man, if that was into the Stikine River, what kind of damage would that do? A couple of interesting points that they did mention is that it just minute traces of copper damage the salmon. And this will have a lot of copper in it. And it's open pit mining, so the concern is you're not just dealing with the actual processing or getting it down to a sort of, can't remember the word they use, but to constitute it into a measure that allows them to ship it out and then process it elsewhere. But they have a lot of material sitting on site that is contaminated, that's been dug up, and that material is sitting there, and as water rushes through that material, it can cause acidification of streams. And the so that's not even the tailings pond concern. So I was at the end of it, I felt that it is an issue that our community needs to be involved in. I pointed out to them that there is some, you know, part of the issue for us is that it's not our country. Obviously, we are dependent on that water, but it is a sovereign nation, and it's kind of difficult to tell others what to do. But I did think it was an excellent reminder that what we do in our own backyard, you know, we can't be running around telling Canada what to do and then be advocating for similar activities that have the similar impact in our own backyard. I think we really have to be sort of aware of that. It sounds to me like our course of action, they were very impressed with the letter that the Assembly sent on. The one woman was very aware of that letter, and they were grateful for that letter. And they're also pushing for further comments to be sent on to Secretary of State John Kerry. And I think we could maybe ask City Clerk to look into that to see what we could do to how we fall through. I don't know if that's the appropriate person, but it would be nice to know how we can continue on lobbying and advocating for keeping our watershed pristine.
You're Canadian. Got any strings to pull?
I'm not Canadian. I'm American. Sorry. Former Canadian. But I do have a Maple Leaf mug tonight. I found it at the cupboard.
You're a Canadian, you see.
I can translate if you need
for that. Anybody that would like to see those videos, you can go on YouTube. There are several of them out there of Mount Polly and the incident that happened down there, and they're horrendous. You don't get an idea of the scale of the operation until you go look at that from a helicopter view.
Well, and the scary thing is the same company that designed that dam, that tailings dam, is designing the tailings dam for this mine.
The same engineer.
The same mm-hmm. engineer. Yeah. And the one fellow who is the scientist of the group, and I can't remember anybody's name, but he brought up that nobody ever plans, they said there was no way this would ever fail, this would just be fine, and you know, all of those guarantees and assurances, and sure enough, massive failure of it. He said they have 1.5, you know, I don't know what time frame, but 1.5 breaches of tailings dams a year throughout the world. So 1.5 of these things breach.
It happens a lot more than people think. It's usually in these big scale copper mines where it happens. And one of the things about these copper mines is a byproduct from it, from copper concentration is arsenic. It's a byproduct that happens when you're concentrating copper ore. You know, we all know what arsenic can do to it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any comments? Or? Okay. Item 10B, appointment of assembly member to the code review committee. Assembly member Max, the reader spoon, was on that committee, and so she is no longer with us, so we do need another member on that committee if anybody is interested. Anybody have any interest in that?
I'll do it.
Yay!
Okay, well, I'll appoint you to that code review committee then. Item 10C, appointment to fill the vacancy on the Nolan Museum Civic Center Board. There was one letter of interest from Alice Rooney for that board, and I will appoint her to that.
I think Alice would be a very good choice for that.
I think so too. Appointment to fill the vacancies on the SEPA board. There was one voting and one alternate. Assemblymember Pozunka has turned in a letter of interest, and if you recall, well, some of you weren't here, but in December that was a part of the resolution that we passed. One of the whereas is that an assembly member be a member of that board. And so I'll go ahead and appoint Steve Pozunka to that as a voting member on the board. There are several other names that have been submitted for let's see, Clay Hammer and Don McConaughey Sr. had put their a letter of interest for the alternate member. And I think it would be a good. Do you have something to
say? No, I was just going to make a motion, but if you.
Oh, you don't need a motion.
I see. I recommend. You don't make a motion here.
Yeah.
Sorry.
You can certainly recommend, if you don't aren't satisfied with my.
Oh, is selection. That how it works? I thought it doesn't say that here.
Yeah.
So, sorry.
But I think it's very important to have the knowledge and information from Mr. Hammer on that to assist Steve, since he'll be new and what's going on with. And I Brian Ashton has been in the past on the board, and I would think it'd be very good for you to contact him and talk to him too about what has happened. Get his opinion on things too. So Clay Hammer will be the alternate position.
Okay.
That should take care of that. Item 11, persons to be heard.
No persons to be heard.
Thank you. Then we go to item 12A. That is approval to enter as a friend of the court instead of an intervener in the Big Thorn timber sale issues. This item was postponed from the October 24th, 2014 special assembly meeting. The pending motion was seconded. That was seconded is approval it to enter as a friend of the court instead of an intervener. Is there any discussion on this item? Yes.
After reading the letter, where Jeff had spoken with the city attorney, understand that entering as a friend of the court is going to cost us as much, if not even more, than it would entering as an intervener. And it's not even guaranteed that the court would allow us to do that, because we have to really show that what we're in our letter, that it is issues that are just for us that are different than any issues that anybody else has brought up. And the chances of us being able to do that are pretty slim. So we could pay to have this written up and it go to the court and it be denied, and then we're just out there completely. At least if we do it as an intervener, we're guaranteed a seat at the table.
Right now, the only issue is the friend of the court issue. That's what the motion was.
You asked for discussion.
Discuss other issues, but I just want to make that clear that what we would be voting on is the friend of the court.
Right, unless we amend it.
Or.
Yeah.
Unless you withdraw your motion.
Was that mine?
It was yours.
Yes.
I'll make a motion to withdraw that motion.
Make a motion.
I'll withdraw it.
Okay. Is there any further discussion on this issue then?
I'd like to make a motion to approve to enter as an intervener in the Big Thorn timber sale.
And I will second that motion.
It's been moved and seconded. Any discussion? I think Jeff has some information on that.
One thing that last week, before the Friday meeting, in talking to the attorneys, it was explained to me that Ketchikan, well, both the borough and the city, were going to be wanted to participate, and they had voted to do that. And when I talked to the attorney, it sounded like, you know, they wanted to file this amendment within a couple of weeks or so. So we had time, it sounded like, to do that. After the meeting on Friday, I sent our action on to everybody concerned, and it was told to me at that time that they may file the amendment either yesterday or today. So I don't know where that leaves us. I was not able to find out. I'd sent an email. I was not able to find out if they'd actually done that or not. I was talking to Bob Blasco today, and he didn't know that. We didn't ask him to find that out, so he wasn't aware of that. I talked to him pretty late in the day. But they did say that if we chose to take this action, I don't know if they can do an additional amendment or not. It sounded like maybe they would try to do that, but it wasn't some kind of a guarantee. So that's where we're at.
Well, I really believe we need to make an attempt. I realize some of the concerns that the logs won't all be harvested locally, but we don't have the infrastructure to mill those logs anymore. So I would rather create half the jobs as to have a mill that can process the lumber and do all the jobs. I think it's a start, and it's not going to be very far down the road, and we're going to be facing the same issue on the sale here at Wrangell. So I really think it would be to our best advantage to spend this money to help create these jobs by doing so, and have a leg up when it's our turn. And maybe they will come to our aid as well.
Yes.
I have a few things. So one of the issues that was brought up at the last meeting that I wanted to just sort of at least clear my conscience that both sides, or the full story, was stated in public. The issue that one of the attorneys working on behalf of the interveners is Jim Clark, and the issue with Jim Clark's past and his charges, federal charges. And I wanted to read a little bit. This is off of the internet, so take it for what it is. U.S. dropped Jim Clark corruption conviction. In 2008, Clark admitted that he was aware that Vico Corporation had paid $10,000 for a political poll to gauge the popularity of then-incumbent Governor Murkowski, and was charged with, quote, honest services fraud, unquote. Before he was sentenced, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that the statute was drafted with unconstitutional vagueness and henceforth will only cover, quote, fraudulent schemes to deprive another of honest services through bribes or kickbacks supplied by a third party who has not been deceived, unquote. Since Clark was guilty of neither bribes nor kickbacks, all charges were voided. That was off of Wikipedia's description of, there is like 10 or 12 people that were charged, some convicted and some not, during some federal prosecutions in the past. Now, I want to explain further, this was when Jim Clark was chief of staff for Governor Murkowski, and from what I understand, he was aware of this political poll that was paid by Vico, and if he would have filed the paperwork to claim it as a campaign donation, everything would have been legal. He did not do that. That's why he admitted the guilt, and then the courts threw it out because of this issue of this honest services fraud. I also want to say that although, you know, that whole, every single one of those people that were charged had a different situation, but the federal prosecutors that brought all those charges forward were further charged themselves with improperly doing that and withholding evidence that actually would have probably led to Ted Stevens being not guilty, and that's why his charges were dropped. Anyway, my point is, I think the whole story should be told in public before someone is impugned. I've worked with Jim Clark in the past, and he's been very straightforward and honest person in my dealings. Now, on to this sale on Prince of Wales. I asked Austin O'Brien at the Forest Service here to find out a few things for us. I asked him what the percentage of old growth to be cut in the sale. He said the first offering, which is 95 million board feet of the total 150, that first offering, that 95 million, is 100% old growth. He said the record of decision, which means that whole 150 million, does clear some young growth. I think it's around 20 or 25%, but it wasn't included in this first sale, this first 95 million. Then I asked what's the percentage of logs that can be exported in this sale. And he said up to 38% of the spruce and hemlock can be exported, and 100% of the yellow cedar is exportable. And then he broke down what the different species volumes are. And so about 56 million board feet is spruce, which would be in that up to 38% exportable. And 23.6% is hemlock, again, 23.6 million board feet is hemlock, which again falls under that 38%. And then he broke down red, and the remaining is red and yellow cedar, and with yellow cedar being the smallest. Anyway, then my third question was, can the logs be cut on one side and then shipped south for further processing and therefore not counted in the percentage of exported logs? And he replied, the logs that require domestic processing must be sawn on four sides to make a maximum 8 3/4 inch cant. Up to 25% weighing is allowed in each individual cant. The cants are considered processed and are not counted as export volume, and cants are often broken down further at a different processing facility, which I assume is down south. So those are my questions. That was his answers. That's all I had.
Thank you. Yes.
Again, for me, this comes down to spending $5,000 on this. And my issue with spending the $5,000, and I appreciate that Jeff got us some further clarification. When we asked our lawyer, what is our $5,000 buying us? Quite clearly, he's come back with, first of all, we thought, well, we'll be lending our support by jumping in with this, and that will help to show that a lot of the communities will be affected. Our lawyer says, make no difference how many interveners there are. So basically, in our opinion, the court will review the facts and the law, whether it's one intervener or 20. Now, he does go on to say that we hope that Jim and Steve, and I'm assuming that's the two lawyers, as they prepared the case, would highlight the different perspectives from each intervener. I guess my question is how different is our perspective as if we sign on as interveners? It's the same issue. I mean, every community is going to have the same issues. I don't believe that our issues are that unique from Craig or Ketchikan or whoever else. So we're spending $5,000. I guess what we're saying by spending that money is we're signing on in solidarity. And it's already been said that it won't make a difference in terms of the intervener. I would much rather hold on to that $5,000, utilize it in whether it's something for the Wrangell sale that's coming up, or that we're able to even encourage some other activity that will utilize our timber. I am concerned about timber being shipped out in cants. I am concerned about timber going out in the round. And there's lots of ways these guys play these numbers. So my preference would be that we don't spend money, as I see, relatively needlessly, just so that we feel like we're doing something. If we want to do something, let's take a look at what the needs of their sale is that's coming up in Wrangell, and ensure that we maximize the number of jobs that we have in Wrangell.
Yes.
I think it's $5,000 well spent, personally. I think it's actually a minor amount of money. I think you would be, $5,000 wouldn't do much to get further processing in the in the community, I think we should look at doing that. And I'd like to further discuss that. But I actually think we can put forward a little bit different of an argument in the sense that Craig, the city of Craig has, you know, this is the majority of, or a huge part of their community. Wrangell, it's more of the timber industry. When we're talking about this sale to Viking, it affects our industry in the sense that the industry really is integrated. And we have a small mill that many times purchases logs from other people, from larger companies. If those larger companies go away, and this is, you know, this is the one medium-sized mill remaining in Southeast, it does affect the smaller mills. And that is one of the reasons why the Icy Strait Lumber Company has joined as an intervener. It's their pocketbook is on the line because they actually purchase logs from Viking, and they will continue to do so. And they actually mill those to finished products. They actually have a shop in Juneau, and they sell all kinds of wood products in Juneau to, you know, locals. So even the small mill guys need that medium-sized mill, and it supports the whole, even the small amount of industry that we have now. If you get it so small, I believe it will collapse on itself. So that's I think how we can have a little bit different input into the intervener process.
One issue that hasn't really been hit on or mentioned at all is that the Craig school system has wood-fired boilers that they obtain the wood for those boilers from the mill. They also have a greenhouse that the school operates, that the students actually grow the vegetables and produce in there and sell it for school activities such as travel and that. And I can see that if this sale didn't go through and that mill closed, what would happen with the boilers of Craig in the Craig school? They'd probably have to replace them with oil-fired boilers, which is more pollution in the atmosphere from burning the fuel. Of course, there is some pollution from wood fire, but not the same as the hydrocarbons from fossil fuel. And besides, not to mention the cost. Any other discussion?
Can we just send the $5,000 to their school and call it good? Just joking.
Assembly members Decker?
Yes.
Mitchell?
Yes.
Blake?
Yes.
Prasanka?
No.
Rooney? Sorry?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 13, new business. Approval of the Wrangell Capital Project request for fiscal year 2015 to 2016.
I would make a motion that we postpone this until we have time for further discussion on it.
I'll second that.
And moved and second to postpone. Is there any discussion on postponing? Hold on, please.
Assembly members Mitchell?
Yes.
Blake?
Yes.
Prasanka?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. 13B, approval of a budget amendment for the purpose of hiring a state legislative lobbyist. Yes.
Just one comment here. When the $45,000 figure was put in here, at that point we didn't know who we were going to recommend or hire. It appears that the recommended person in the next agenda item, I think they're their asking price for this was $36,000. So you can still do the 45 and we can do something less, or you can do the, I don't know quite how else to say that. But
well, the 45 is not to exceed, so we
right.
can
approve Let's make okay. a motion
okay.
On this before we proceed. Any further discussion?
I'll move to approve a budget amendment not to exceed $45,000 to come from the General Fund Reserve for the purpose of hiring a state legislative lobbyist.
Second.
Been moved and second. Any discussion? Roll, please.
Assemblymembers Mitchell?
Yes.
Blake?
Yes.
Persanta?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 13C, approval to hire a state legislative lobbyist.
I move to approve the hiring of Ray Matuszewski as the borough's state legislative lobbyist and to authorize the borough manager to negotiate a contract not to exceed $45,000 with funds to come from the general fund reserve.
I'll second that.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion?
Just a quick, we solicited six different lobbyists, and these were we took advantage of both Assemblyperson Decker and Rooney, as they both have worked in the legislature and are familiar with a lot of the people that are up there. We also added two people that are DC lobbyists recommended, and a couple of the people said they couldn't do it because of the cities they represent or other people thought there may be a conflict, and we certainly respect that. Of the other four, we kind of went through their resumes and experience and municipal things they've done, and again, we come down to this person, and we think he'll do a good job. It's a one-year term that we'll negotiate, and we'll have additional alternate years there if the assembly thinks they're doing a good job, and so we'll put together a contract and sign that. And I did talk to him today, see if he that still wanted to do it, if he was selected, and ask him if he could come to the assembly sometime in the next 30 days at one of our meetings, and he will be able to do that. He lives in Ketchikan. So, anyway.
And I think there was some mention about having someone here for the budget. The capital
projects. Nope, we'll get him up here for, see if he can come up for maybe a workshop before the next meeting, and we can get his take on things and his input. And
Jeff, yes. just for,
oops. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Just for the public's knowledge, would you just touch on why you think we need a lobbyist?
I know, as an example, the Washington DC lobbyists we have, there's all kind of things that they have helped us with. They're able sometime with them anyway, there's grant opportunities. We might say we're looking for money, they might be grant opportunities or other legislative things. The dam thing, you know, they're able to, he did a bunch of research to find out kind of this trans-border group where there's three Canadians and how you go about some strategies to with mines on the other side, how to most effectively do that. We think a state lobbyist would do a similar thing. There's strategies. Obviously, this person has contacts in the administration's office, works with their staff all the time, other legislators. They get a pretty good feel for the what's going on and where we can be successful. I think strategizing as far as when it is important for mayor, the manager to come up there and personally be there versus just charging up there, and it's not a good time to be there because there's nothing going on. Just a lot of those things, keeping us in tune with different things that are coming along, testifying when it's important to testify on certain things. They have the pulse of what's going on in Juneau, and I think we've probably, although I tell you, we have done pretty well over the last 10 years. Part of that, I think, because everybody felt sorry for Wrangell because the mill was down and woe was us, but we've done actually very well. But I think there's tighter times are coming, and I think almost all of these guys have said that, okay, if you hire me, don't expect millions, because there might not be very much money put out this year. Time will tell, but oil prices are down, which drives down the state budget, and so, but certainly in the tougher times, it may be even more important to have someone there going to bat for you and why something's important. This person also is a lobbyist for Petersburg, SEPA, and Ketchikan, so that can be good or bad, but there's certainly things, regional things that I think would, that we have, hydropower, different other issues that I think will be important, and he can, although he should be representing Wrangell interest, so we'll see how all that plays out, but we think he has a good perspective of Southeast and the needs down here, and so I think it will be money well spent, and like I said, it's a year contract, and at the end of that period of time, we can reevaluate that and see how it went, and see compared to other places. So,
oh, Daniel,
my question was looking at the all the applicants on the back page here. What made him stand out over the other ones? Because as I look at this, I see Ian Fisk here with 16 years experience versus Ray Matkowski with only 8 years, and Mr. Fisk seems to have really been successful in lobbying for commercial fishing and seafood and marine industries a lot more than the other one. So what makes him stand out more? Why would we pick him over?
Dave, Mayor?
Yeah,
okay. Well, I can give you my opinion on that, and plus add to, I think, why it's important to have a lobbyist. Some of the reason why we've been successful in the past is we had a legislator who was here in Wrangell. You know, she gained 14 years seniority. Now we're going to have a new person in Ketchikan. And then the other big reason was our senator for a while was co-chair of the Senate Finance Committee. So those two things don't exist right now, and so plus oil is at 80 something dollars a barrel, prices down, so it's gonna be tough. One of the things that stood out to me about Ray Matkowski, I think we had a Mark Hickey was sort of a top priority for us, but he was sort of he was out because the shipyard felt like there might be a conflict. We didn't think there was one, but that's, you know, not for us to decide. So the client list of May Matkowski, I think, is very interesting. I think it could present some very good synergy for our community, Petersburg, Ketchikan, and SEPA, all to be utilizing the same lobbyist. I think what we will have to do is sort of manage what we charge him with doing, but in the past, you know, these were his clients, and Wrangell was not, and so, you know, he's vying for his clients, and Wrangell's left over here. Now we're part of the clients, and so we sort of, you know, expect to get our share. So I think it could lead to a good synergy for Southern Southeast communities. That's what I hope to see out of it, and that was something that I think that tipped the scales for me.
And also, I worked with Ray last year as Peggy's chief of staff, and he is very tenacious, and he's really, really on the ball when it comes to watching legislation that he knows may be an issue. In the past, I know Rangel has kind of come to the table late on occasion because they didn't know what may or may not have been happening up there, and so their interests weren't always represented. And now he'll keep you appraised of the first committee a bill may show up in and when you should be there in the next. And he's very tenacious and just, you know, as a staffer, he could be kind of annoying, but as a client, you want that. You want them to be really visible all the time. And he was really a top-notch lobbyist.
Get rid of him.
Squeaky wheel, huh?
That's right.
Any further discussion on? Roll call, please.
Assemblymember Blake?
Yes.
Hasanka?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
Mitchell?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 14, attorney's file, is a report attached for your perusal. Item 15, executive session, we have none. Item 16 is adjournment, and we will adjourn this meeting at 7:47.